Hi, and welcome to the first co-produced Development Finance and CDC podcast. I'm Jack Aldane, the editor of Development Finance. We've worked with CDC to bring you this podcast on the work of development finance institutions, or DFIs as they're also known. DFIs are government-backed institutions which invest in private sector projects in developing countries with the aim of creating jobs and supporting sustainable growth. And they're organizations that are doing more than ever before. In the last 10 years, for example, the total investment commitments from European DFIs has nearly tripled. But despite their recent growth, there's still a bit of mystery around development finance institutions. So, in this podcast, we aim to answer some of the questions people have. We'll look at what a development finance institution is, we'll find out what kind of impact they're having on the ground, and we'll also speak to Sir Paul Collier, one of the foremost development finance academics.
Actually, they're development agencies whose prime job is to get firms to go to places that they don't want to go to, but where they're needed.
First up, though, here's Nanno Gleiter, the chairman of the European Development Finance Institutions, speaking to CDC's Rob Comber.
A development finance institution, in my eyes, is a financial institution that provides finance in order to create impact. And impact can be a lot of different things, but the main impact we're looking for is creating employment and doing that in a responsible way. So creating employment and at the same time having a positive impact on the environment and a positive impact on people.
What do DFIs bring that other investors don't?
DFIs are able to take really high risks. So DFIs are willing to work in countries with that are politically less stable. DFIs are willing to take a long-term risk, being there with their investments for 10 to 15 years. I think that is really the difference with the commercial investors, what we see. The long-term risk combined with the political risk in unstable countries.
Why is it that you think that DFIs are more active now than they have been in the past?
Well, I think the mere issue of growth, DFIs combined, if you look only at the EDFI members, have been growing over the last 20 years about an average of 10% per year. So it has all institutions have been growing strongly, so the model has been proven. And what we see today is that the owners of the DFIs, the governments, are much more aware about the importance of the private sector and creating development and employment.
You recently wrote a book called Banking for a Better World, which is based on your 40 years worth of experience in this whole development finance sector. So with that in mind, with all that experience in mind, how have you seen DFIs change?
Well, I think if you go about 40 years back, then it was already very special that a financial institution was willing to finance companies in very poor countries. No? So that's then the only mere fact that you were financing a company was already very special and made you additional. The number of players has increased. The countries have become richer. There are less poor people in this world. So that's all very positive aspects of what developments that have been happening. So DFIs have been moving much more to focus on where they really make the difference, on where they create impact.
What role will DFIs play in the future, do you think?
2 years ago, we had the establishment of the Sustainable Development Goals, and of course in Paris, the new agreement on climate change. I think contributing to the investments which are needed to reach the Sustainable Development Goals, that it will be key in the future. And that means that we have to mobilize about $2 trillion, no, that are the estimates to get to the Sustainable Development Goals. That means that we have to crowd in the private sector. That means we have to crowd in pension funds, insurance companies to invest in the private sector in those countries, helping to get to that $2 trillion investments. I think that is very key in the coming 10 years. We're talking about 2030 that we should have reached the Sustainable Development Goals. That is very key for the DFIs in the future.
My name is Musa Chayenda, and I'm the Accounts and Finance Manager of 14 Trees Malawi.
And from Europe, we now go to Malawi to get an idea of the kind of work DFIs are doing on the ground in developing countries. There, I spoke to Musa Chayenda, who works for 14 Trees, a business set up by CDC and the construction company Lafarge Holcim. Now, 14 Trees makes a product called Durabrick, which is an environmentally friendly alternative to clay burnt bricks. And it also builds affordable homes with this product too.
Every time we build a standard three-bedroom house with Durabrick, we save 14 trees on average, and hence the name 14 Trees.
Why is your work particularly valuable in Malawi?
Well, our work is quite valuable because at the moment we're helping the Malawian economy by creating jobs, which in turn improves GDP, and also helping to curb deforestation by manufacturing Durabrick. Our production site employs about 65 workers who have been trained and are continuously being trained. And over the last year, we saved an equivalent of 1,200 trees, which is pretty much an equivalent of a small forest.
Before 14 Trees was set up, was this a big issue in Malawi that lots of houses were being built with unenvironmentally friendly bricks?
Exactly. Actually, there's never been an alternative, like an eco-friendly method of building houses in Malawi. We've always been using those traditional clay burnt bricks, which has been having a negative impact on the forest.
What are the key aspects to helping economic development in Malawi, do you think?
Well, I think with projects like these ones, basically, whereby we are providing jobs at a larger scale, and secondly, also having a way to provide this affordable housing, because I mean, shelter is the number one needed a necessity in every person's life.
And that's it from me, so now I'll hand you back to Jack Aldane from Development Finance, who spoke to the academic Sir Paul Collier to get his thoughts on what more DFIs can do in future. And in particular, this conversation focuses on one area that Sir Paul is currently leading a research commission on, and that's the role of DFIs in supporting economic growth in fragile and conflict-affected states.
They're development agencies whose prime job is to get firms to go to places that they don't want to go to, but where they're needed. And that will very much, very likely mean that they'll make a loss.
How important is the issue of local currency risk in getting development finance institutions to see themselves less as quasi-commercial entities and more as those who may well take a loss, but, for example, must extend debt instruments and...
Absolutely. So this is all part of the reducing the risks of getting investment into fragile states. And in fact, there's an important conference in South Africa convened by the Bundesbank next month on domestic currency risk. But it's exactly the right thing to do, and it's the big international agencies which have got the financial clout to be able to make this happen. They're there to take risk, to bear risk, to reduce risk. And so they need instruments which do this risk bearing. It'll be first loss equity, it'll be insurance. Their purpose is not to avoid risk, it's to eat it up so that others are encouraged to go and do their role. You know, the core role of the private sector is to perform the miracle of productivity, which is you create an organization which has scale and specialization and therefore transforms the productivity of the workforce. You know, the average worker in Africa, the typical worker, the median worker in Africa works solo. Two-thirds of Africa's human capital is deployed in enterprises where there's only one worker. Two-thirds. If there's only one worker, no scale, no specialization, doomed to low productivity and therefore doomed to poverty. And so we desperately need these organizations that just reorganize work so that it's people are working with scale and specialization and therefore are dramatically more productive.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to hear more collaborative content between Development Finance and CDC Group, you can get in touch at either website, debfinance.net or cdcgroup.com.